Okay, well, thank you everyone for joining us. This is Dr. Will Tuttle on August 18th, 2022, and you are right in the right place if you're here for our third Thursday World Peace Diet Circle call. And we've been doing this since 2011. Gosh, this is yes, we have momentum. We've got a momentum going here. 11 years, and I think we only missed about one or two of the whole 11 years. So, I remember doing one from New Zealand. That was really quite a challenge. Anyway, so, thanks for joining us. We're in, very challenging times, as you all know, in many ways, and veganism has never been more important than it is now. I want to thank Lisa for helping out here and letting people in and being the co-host. I appreciate that. We are here in Northern California. It's a very warm day. It's up close to the high 90s, I guess. And we had put in a little grotto by a deck that I built, and we have a waterfall there, so I just jumped out of the waterfall. My hair is still a little wet, and Madeline, I think, is down in there. So it's just a little place to cool off on a hot day after working in the garden. We picked figs. Our fig tree is giving its second batch of figs, which is really delightful because that tree was was killed by the ground squirrels. They already killed one. They eat them. They eat the soft bark around the base. But I just bandaged it up a few years ago, and it came back, and it's giving us basketfuls of figs. I mean, it's really amazing. So we're really very blessed here. One of the main things we're doing is our veganic food forest, which I am happy to talk more about if anyone's interested, but I think it's one of the best ways of kind of living, bringing the vegan way of living is, I think, through more self-reliance food-wise, especially if we can do it, grow our own food somehow. So that's been a big project, and Madeline's very busy every day in the food forest, and I'm out there quite a bit too helping out, but she's kind of the main one in many ways with that. So anyway, it's great to have you with us. I don't have a special guest scheduled for today. I thought it would be better to go ahead and just have our time. And I really want to talk about deception today. And I realize that deception is a major, huge issue in our society. I mean, it's like so big. It's like the biggest thing. And but let's go ahead and start with our meditation. I think I'm all set here with everything. I'm sitting at the piano, which is kind of nice when we're here when we're not traveling. I can do the meditation from the piano. So we'll go ahead and start. If everyone is ready, feel free to enter any questions you may have or comments, maybe by pressing star 6 after we finish the meditation. And for this, we can just join together for our time of meditation. This will be a briefer one. We have our main meditation on the first Thursday, as you know. So, all right, thanks. I'll see you after the meditation. I'll open my eyes again. All right, thanks. So we take a few minutes now to connect with our breathing. Remembering that our breath is our connection to the infinite life that supports all life here. our breath. The word breath in Latin is spirit. Spiritus. Abiding in the spirit, abiding in the breath, abiding in the truth that what we are is a manifestation of love and of life, of eternal consciousness. That we are here with a mission. We are here with a purpose on this earth. Just breathing, exhaling. We give thanks for the beauty that is all around us. The beauty that is to the east of us, to the south of us, to the west of us, to the north, above and below. We are surrounded by the beauty of this earth, this universe, the beauty of the animals celebrating their lives here, the beauty of our life as an expression. Of the yearning in our heart to awaken and to contribute compassion and kindness, to contribute our creative capacities, our understanding, our awareness of the truth, to spread the good news that we can thrive without causing any suffering to animals for food or other products, that we can live our lives in alignment with ahimsa, with nonviolence, with loving kindness and compassion, with freedom and with abundance. And we give thanks for every day as an opportunity to awaken more and more deeply and more fully. To our magnificence and awareness, to our contribution that we can make in our unique way. We give thanks for this physical vehicle. And right now we take a moment to give thanks, knowing that every dimension of our physical vehicle is celebrating our heart, our heartfelt wish that all beings be free of suffering and free of delusion. Every cell in our being is celebrating our commitment to be part of the healing of the world, the healing of human consciousness, and that we are in our way healing our consciousness, bringing our own awareness into alignment with the deeper truth of the one life that shines through all expressions. Dedicating our life to being a light, a beacon, shining out into the darkness of fear, delusion, and separateness, so we give thanks knowing that every cell and every system in our body is in harmony with the divine love and truth that brings abundance and fulfillment. Into every dimension of life. We know that our heart is strong, that all of our organs are in service to the aspiration that we have to be a blessing in the world. That our mind is every day getting more bright, clear, and filled with wisdom. That every aspect of our affairs are supporting us in our unique mission. To shine our light for the benefit of all beings, of the past, present, and future. So as we close our meditation, we connect with the four Viharas that are always shining in our heart, our true home. Breathing and radiating love in every direction together. Abiding in loving kindness and radiating love for all beings and for ourselves as well. Abiding in compassion. Breathing and radiating compassion. In ever-expanding spheres of light. Abiding in our true home of joy. With every exhalation radiating the joy that is always shining at the core of our being, the joy of being, and with every exhalation now we radiate peace, the peace that abides naturally in our heart. when we remember the truth of our true home in eternal consciousness, in love and compassion and joy, we are at peace. We give thanks knowing that every day we are awakening more and more fully to the truth of the infinite interconnectedness of life, and we give thanks knowing that we are an integral part of the awakening of humanity at this critical time. May all beings be happy. May all beings be free. May all beings be at peace. May we all realize the truth and the original brightness of our minds and hearts. And may we continue together to build a more enlightened society for the benefit of all. We give thanks knowing this is so. And so it is. Thank you, everyone, for being the space for our meditation time and helping to create the space for our call together. We can never do this without all of you contributing your attention and your energy and your good wishes for animals and for humans and for our Earth. So I'd like to go ahead and get started. So does anyone, if anyone doesn't have any pressing questions, I sent out the resources, and there's a lot on there. We could go over some of those things, what's been happening in the last month, in the vegan world and in the world at large. I have been working, as I told you last time at some point, quite a bit to, finish up. I'm hoping I can finish it maybe in the next month. This book that I've been working on, and I'm not really sure of the title, so I hate to say it, but I'm thinking of something perhaps along the lines of the World Liberation Diet. Instead of the World Peace Diet, the World Liberation Diet. I mean, the idea is enslaving animals for food. It definitely takes away peace and leads to war. But also, it takes away our freedom. When we enslave animals, we lose our freedom. And that's something I think that a lot of people don't realize, and we see happening a lot around us at this time. And so that's kind of the idea, is just to make these connections. And so in the writing I've been doing, the research I've been doing for the last couple of years, especially something that's really become so clear to me is that deception is really a different type of violence, and that it's so pervasive. It's interesting. We have this idea of the empire of lies. That was something actually that Vladimir Putin said, that the West is an empire of lies. And I have to tend to agree with him on that point. It's really hard to navigate all the lies. And of course, I think the primary lie, the primary deception, is that we need to eat animals to get protein or and calcium and whatever. That somehow that is necessary. Most people, if you talk to them, as you know, Why do you eat animals? Why do you eat meat? Why do you eat dairy products and eggs and so forth? Well, you know, I need the protein. We need to do that. It's God set it up that way. We need to do it. And that's the basic idea. So that deception is like the fountain of a myriad of deceptions. But the idea I was saying earlier, I think it's important to understand that most forms of violence that we're kind of aware of, they exist in the outer world somewhat, right? If we hit someone or kill someone or steal from someone or sexually abuse someone, you know, all these things that we see as adverse and something we shouldn't be doing and harmful, it's something that exists in a sense. But deception is different. You know, deception is really different. Deception is completely invisible. You don't even know what happened, right? You can't see it. You can't, you can't see, hear, taste, touch, smell, or feel it. It's totally invisible. And very often it masquerades as something benevolent. You think, wow, it's so nice. You know, she gave me this, or he's going to do that. And, there's this, very often there's a sense of, we're completely don't realize it even. Maybe we never do realize. I think a lot of people go to their graves never realizing, how they've been deceived and, how much they've been deceived. So deception, I'm beginning to understand more and more, is a really, really, deadly, destructive force that just permeates our society and damages and destroys psychologically and socially and culturally in so many ways. And it's very hard to combat it, actually. How do you combat deception, right? I mean, how do you know what's true? And when people are, and what is actually deception? And what I've realized in writing the World Peace Diet, and then in, gosh, it's been, I don't know how many years since, almost probably since I was actually writing it. I was probably writing the World Peace Diet around 20 years ago. And so in these 20 years, it seems that the deception has reached more monumental and insidious proportions. It's gone deeper and become more and more difficult to even question. You know, we get to the point now where if you question a lot of the rampant deception, you're shut down, you're canceled. People don't like you anymore. You know, even if it's only 1% of what you say isn't right, we find ourselves suddenly thrown out in the dark because things have gotten everyone's gotten very stressed out, I guess, about because of the pandemic and all these other narratives that are so divisive, and we haven't been allowed to discuss them. It hasn't been allowed. You get thrown off of social media, and you're canceled and censored and so forth. People are, and I've been myself. So this is something that I think is very important to us as citizens, as human beings, and it's also very important to us as a vegan movement. How do we respond to this? And one of the things that I'll just say here from the beginning is that I've quite honestly been very disappointed in the response of human beings to the deception that became so rampant. It's been going on forever, but it got really obvious to me anyway in January of 2020, January, February, March, and with the pandemic, and then the willingness of people to be deceived, I guess, and then the willingness of the vegan movement not to question the deception and to go along with the pharmaceutical industry and these other forces to fail to question these deceptions. And I think when we fail to question them and fail to resist them, then tremendous damage is done to our credibility ultimately and to our movement and to ourselves, because I think it was George Washington actually who said that if we don't speak up against deception, we will be led like lambs to the slaughter. I mean, it's not funny, but it's just, I think, very interesting, you know, that we're, as vegans, we're really committed to speaking up on behalf of of animals, of lambs and sheep and goats and turkeys and ducks and geese and fish and so forth. And we should be willing to speak up for other human animals as well, for each other. And it hasn't happened. And it hasn't been happening for a long time, actually. So that's kind of the thing. And now it's gotten to a critical point. So what I've discovered is there's a number of deceptions that are being promoted by the global elite, the globalist elite. And these deceptions are agreed upon. Most people don't question them even within our movement either. And so I thought I'd talk about a few of them here briefly and then allow you, and then I'd like to get feedback too if people think, well, I've gone too far, I'm questioning too much, you know, or whatever. But I think I'm just realizing, I think I've got to question some of the stuff that people think is really true, right? It's really true. So one of the things, I guess the main thing we all agree on, I'm sure, is questioning animal agriculture and what I refer to as herderism, the mentality and practice of herding animals at the core of our society. But that's the actual core. So herderism, to me, is a deception. It's imprisoned and it has a lot of consequences that are horrible for the animals and for us. And I won't go into all that because I've talked about it so much here, but the imprisonment and the sexual abuse and killing of billions of animals literally every day, for sure every year, and when we count marine animals, I mean, it's massive. So how that boomerangs back into our world, we're deceiving those animals, of course, and very often, but we're also abusing them in all these ways and mutilating them and killing them and eating them. And so it goes into our temple. Most of the people are doing that. So that deception, I think the main problem with that is that it lowers our vibration so much to be engaged in that kind of behavior and then to be covering it up and not wanting to hear it, think about it, that we end up at a very low vibratory level of consciousness, of conscious awareness. People who are eating animal foods really have a hard, I think it's very difficult for them not to be sucked in to low level manipulation of consciousness. A fear-based narrative will very often just pull those people right in because they're already eating fear. They're causing fear. They're eating fear. They're causing terror and pain and despair and abuse and anxiety, you know, they're just creating it. They're taking out their wallets and causing it every day, and then they eat it, feed it to their children. So you come along with a fear-based narrative, and they just freak out. Of course, they're just full of this potential fear. And so this is being used by the globalist elite, a tiny, tiny minority, just a tiny micro 0.01% or less of people who have all the money and power to enslave. They can enslave everybody because people have so much fear. So that's the fountain, that low vibratory devastation of animal agriculture, of causing violence to animals and then not having a positive self-esteem at a basic level. We know, you know, we have this, typically for eating animal foods, we just think, well, there's nothing I can do. I'm just one person, because we can't even stop eating animal foods. I mean, you know, what are you going to do, right? So we become really victim-oriented if we're eating animal foods. We're victimizing animals, so we become victims. We see ourselves as victims, and then, of course, you can roll out a narrative that there are dangerous viruses that are going to attack us, and everybody believes it. I mean, I can hardly believe it, but people believe that, and so in anything that comes along. So I won't go too much into the pandemic deceit, but that's a huge deception. It's a false flag, completely false, the whole thing. I mean, from my point of view, you know, I won't go into it too much, but since the PCR test, which is the main test that's used to determine if someone has COVID, I mean, it doesn't test for anything. So you can't never say anyone had COVID. I don't think anybody ever had COVID. Because you can't. How do you know? There's no test for it, so how can you say? It doesn't exist at all. I think people have been dying from heart disease, liver disease, kidney disease, diabetes, flu, this, that, and the other, and they just slap COVID on it, and people are so willing to trust authorities. That's another big, huge deception. I guess maybe the next one. But anyway, that's the point, is that we've been educated to trust authorities, and that allows us to be deceived very easily, right? The whole educational system is based on forcing us to believe authorities, to trust authorities, to get approval from authorities. We can't get a good grade if we don't please the authority. We can't graduate. We can't get ahead, right? So we just surrender our power to these authorities, and they're easily corruptible. So here we go. So another great deception is war, right? I mean, this is always happening, that we need to go to war against so-and-so, and that's a good one. And we believe that, and we kill each other, and we destroy each other's homes, and we destroy the natural world, and we give our power away to these wealthy globalists who always make money on the wars and take away our power. So animal agriculture deception gives rise to the war deception. It gives rise to the pharmaceutical medical deception. It gives rise to the deception of materialism. That's a huge one. I mean, that one there is maybe right at number two after animal agriculture, because animal agriculture gives us, in a sense, or wounds us, is maybe a better word, into seeing the world through a lens of materialism. We buy and sell animals by the pound, and pretty soon everything is matter, and then we create these absolutely outlandish, ridiculous theories that we call science. And science has become the religion. So that's something we have to really understand, that science is something that is venerated, right? The high priests that everybody respects are the Nobel-winning scientists, as long as they, of course, color within the lines and say what they're supposed to say. And so scientists have become the priests. And the thing is, this is something very important, is that the world religions, all of them, you may not like the world religions for whatever reasons, or certain religions, but they all basically have at their core the golden rule. They all talk about the importance of not doing to others what you wouldn't want to have done to yourself. They do that. They at least do that. They at least have a basic ethical orientation of kindness for other living beings. They all do. Buddhism, Taoism, Christianity, Judaism, Islam. I mean, that's in the exoteric level, it's there. But you have this new religion of science, scientism, which has taken over, which is what is really worshipped. And so they didn't close down any scientific or medical establishments, right, during COVID. They shut down all the churches. Oh, we don't need them. They're attacked. Religion is being attacked because religion has morality in it. Science has no morality. None. There's no morality in science. In fact, it's the opposite. You can use science to justify anything. And it's being used to justify animal agriculture. It's being used to justify killing people. Right? I mean, you can easily use science. You can say, well, Darwin said survival of the fittest, right? So we're the fittest. So we can dominate and we can exploit, because that's what happens in nature. This is the Darwinian scientific evolutionary might makes right and survival of the fittest and random mutation of genes just in a completely meaningless universe that started with a big bang out of nowhere. I mean, I won't go into it. You've heard me say this before, but if you inflict that kind of a worldview on human beings, especially children from birth, you're guaranteed to create really messed up people. People who don't feel good about themselves, that feel lost and alone and isolated in a meaningless universe, that then they become easily manipulated and easily reduced to mere consumers and to matter. So this is a huge deception. Scientism is a belief system that there's nothing other than what you can see, and with the senses. So it's believing in the dream. It's believing in this dream where there's nothing else. If you get people to believe that, then they're vulnerable in your hands, and that's what's happened. That's the big wound. And when you get people eating animal foods, you're basically getting them to buy into a materialist philosophy underlying everything, because these animals are reduced to matter, and we're reduced to matter. And then we have a materialistic medicine and science and government, economics, education. Everything follows that. So that's the big wound, and that's why we don't have freedom. So the enemy, the two main enemies of the globalist elite's plan to turn human beings into livestock are number one, veganism, and number two, spirituality. Those are the two great powers in the world, veganism and spirituality, and it's actually one power. I mean, they're the same. Veganism and spirituality are not separate. And people who are so-called vegan and are opposed to spirituality, I mean, it's a terrible wound if they're that way, because spirituality is compassion and connectedness and awakening out of materialism, and materialism is the foundation. It's the essence of animal agriculture. It's also demonic. When you really look at what Satanism is, if you study it at all, it's basically reducing beings to matter and manipulating them and using them to get what you want, and thinking that happiness comes from dominating other beings and harming them, or just using them as instruments. So animal agriculture is the essence of a satanic religion, and science has become that, unfortunately. And so it's very difficult for us, because we're venerating demonic, materialistic, epistemological systems, systems of knowing, and we don't realize it. So vegans are not typically educated to understand any of this. So the vegan movement has been infiltrated by the pharmaceutical industry, but like all the movements, they all get infiltrated. But by their money, but also by their narrative. So vegans bring into the movement their misunderstanding about all this, unfortunately, and so it divides the movement, and we fight with each other when we shouldn't be. We should be actually understanding that the greatest enemy of animals is the pharmaceutical industry. They're the ones that make the money, more money than even the pharmaceutical industry makes a lot more money from animal agriculture than the businesses themselves. And really, I mean, they make more money. They have larger profit margins. And so Cargill and Smithfield and McDonald's and Burger King, I mean, they make a lot of money selling and killing animals. But Big Pharma, they make more money, because they sell all the drugs that are used on all these animals and all the drugs that are used on all the people that eat all that stuff. I mean, they have huge profit margins. So they have the big money, and they bought media, and they're spreading these deceptions on a mass scale. So we have to really understand that Big Pharma by far is the worst enemy that animals have. They vivisect animals, torture them to death by the millions, and to make their drugs, and then they go on with this. So this is the underlying situation, is we have this deception that kind of started out of animal agriculture and led to war and led to a whole materialistic worldview and materialistic medical view and humans seeing themselves as victims. And this deception is never, people don't even realize they're being wounded. That's the amazing thing. It's like when you beat somebody up with a stick, they at least know that you're beating them up with a stick. But if you tell a kid to just eat dairy products their whole life, and the poor kid is, it's like he's getting beaten up with a stick. He's got sore throat, runny nose, earaches, tonsillitis, appendicitis, acne, all this stuff. He's like totally getting abused. And he loves you, and he says, thanks for the dairy, it really tastes good. I love cheese. I love ice cream. I mean, this is the thing. And so we're getting horribly abused, and we're, of course, abusing animals, and that's all covered up. Everything's covered up. So it really is an empire of lies, and it takes critical thinking, but more than that, it takes intuition. It takes both intuition and a better word I like than critical thinking is discriminatory awareness. We have to learn to discriminate and understand what's actually happening and look deeply. And intuition, meditation, these are so important, because if we don't take time to sit in silence every day, then it's very difficult to unravel the colonization that's happened in our mind. because our mind has been colonized by this society from the time we were born, probably from the time before we were born. We were in our mother's womb again, already picking up the whole thing. And so we're born into violence. We're born with violence. We're born, unfortunately, like calves on a dairy. You know, I hate to be negative, but that's really what happens. And we get injected, we get slapped around, all kinds of things. And so we're resilient, we're beautiful, and we have within us tremendous capacities. But we have to understand we've been deceived massively, and we're continuing to be deceived. For example, fluoride is in all the water, pretty much everywhere. And fluoride is well understood to calcify the pineal gland and really make people less capable of resisting, to just kind of make people, they use it in prison of war, they would do that. In prisoner of war camps, they would just fluoridate the water so people would be easier to manipulate, and they wouldn't fight back, and they would just low on energy and so forth. It really disconnects our spirit from our mind, essentially. So the main thing, the main thing you want to do to animals so you can exploit them is you want to break their spirit, right? That's the whole thing. You break the spirit of the animals, and that's what they're trying to do to us right now. I mean, that's the main project going on right this minute. The global elite, the tiny globalist elite, is trying to break the spirit of humanity with one thing after another, one catastrophe after another, and we have to look through all of them. And the vegan movement has not been doing that. I mean, I go online right now they're having this animal rights conference. They wanted me to maybe go to it, and they're saying, well, you got to get tested on site. You have to get tested. You have to wear a mask. I mean, you got to be kidding me. I mean, this is the vegan animal rights conference, and they're telling you they're buying into Pfizer and Big Pharma and doing whatever they say, the greatest enemy that animals have, and we're going to follow their orders. I mean, we're completely lost. And so I think the mainstream media, unfortunately, and it's everything is mainstream media. People say, well, I get it from NPR, you know. I mean, oh my gosh, that's the most mainstream there is. So it's all lies, everything. And what are some of the lies? Besides the whole pharmaceutical narrative, everything about it, I would say another one that I think we need to tackle, which is a tough one, there's a couple of them. One is climate change. You know, there's this climate crisis, right? No, it's a big hoax. And I'm telling you, the vegan movement is so wedded to these hoaxes because we go around. I did it for years. I actually did it for a number of years. I was saying, oh gosh, we got a climate change, you know, we got global warming. We've got to, we got to tell everybody that going vegan is the best way to stop global warming. And then, of course, there wasn't any global warming. It never happened. So then they said, well, okay, it's climate change. Like the climate isn't changing all the time anyway. Anthropogenic climate change. Anthropogenic climate change. It's all these, the coal and oil, that's the big problem. And then, of course, we said, no, that's the problem, but the real problem is animal agriculture. We're cutting down all the rainforests, and we're eating all this meat, and the cows are burping and farting, and so it's causing all the methane and all the, you know, all the global greenhouse gases and so forth. So we love using veganism as a way to convert people, to lower their carbon footprint so that they, so that they don't harm the earth so much. So vegans are wedded to a lie. I believed it, but then I realized, I actually did some research, and I realized it's the same thing you see everywhere else, that there's so many climate scientists who are highly respected, some of them even are Nobel laureates, who say there is no climate crisis, there is no anthropogenic climate change. Maybe there's a little bit, but it's not what the politicians are telling us. There's not this crisis, there's not this thing that they are going to take away people's land and take away our right to drive and tell everybody, you know, we have to realize this is a globalist power grab to steal land and to confine us, to lock us down. They're going to, this climate crisis, as it keeps going, It's that's what it's about. And the funny thing is, people think, and I understand why, it makes sense. People think, well, the only people against this narrative are the big oil companies, right? They're manipulating us, and they're telling us it's not really an issue. The big oil companies, a long time ago, are completely controlled by the gigantic global asset management companies, right? BlackRock and State Street and Vanguard and so forth. And they own them. They own everything. They own all the oil companies, all the car companies, all the computer companies, all the meat, dairy, and egg companies. They own everything, and they make more money from this so-called green energy thing, right? They make more money from that. They're very happy to switch away from petroleum. They could care less. And the problem is, you can't switch over. There's no way to make when you look at trying to make batteries for all these cars they're going to be running, it's impossible. I mean, there's no lithium. It's going to completely enslave. You can't travel anymore. I mean, that's where it's going. They want everyone locked down. And so we have to understand that when you have a factory farm, you lock down all those chickens. And you don't just let them wander around. You lock them down. And they're using climate change to lock us down. That's the only reason they're talking about it. That's the only reason. Just take away our land, not let people farm, and lock us down. And yet we have the vegan movement buying into the climate change thing, like we should all get an electric car. Oh, man. I mean, it's completely absurd. We don't have enough electricity to even run air conditioners in California. You want to run all these cars too? So the thing is, we have to see that we're being lied to. And then the other big one is population. Oh, we got a population crisis, right? Too many people. Jane Goodall had an interview saying, well, we got to reduce the population to what it was 500 years ago. Yeah, so from 7.8 billion, we got to reduce it down to a half a billion. Okay, so you're going to volunteer, Jane, and commit suicide and start the whole thing? You know, you're going to do that? You're going to show us how to do it? You know, who's going to decide who gets killed if we're going to kill 90% of the people? I mean, first of all, who decides there's too many people? I mean, if we were living properly, if we were vegans, we could easily support everybody. So this whole idea, it comes out of the eugenics movement. I mean, we have to understand that. It's very clear. I mean, that the eugenics was a huge movement that grew in the 1800s. And Rockefeller and Carnegie and all these people were hardcore eugenicists. And they basically wanted to get rid of the inferior people on the planet. That was the underlying goal, was to try to get rid of them. And it was, if you look, I'm writing about this in my book, how Rockefeller funded all of the research in Germany. It was the American and the British eugenic societies that were funded by the super wealthy and it was very highly respected. I mean, they had over 70,000 American citizens were sterilized, right? I mean, back in the 1920s and 1930s, because they were black and they were had low IQ, so they just sterilized them, and it's all been covered up. But many states had laws that people who were inferior should be sterilized, and so they funded the research in Germany. For the very people that wrote the laws in Germany, the whole eugenics thing. So of course, after Germany lost the war, then eugenics had a bad name because they were killing all these gypsies and Jews and all these other people for those reasons. And so what did they do? They just changed the same people. The same guy who was the head of the eugenics society became the head of the population council and started Planned Parenthood. And the president of the director of Planned Parenthood was William Gates Sr., Bill Gates' father. And Planned Parenthood is basically a eugenics operation of to destroy, and five times as many black women have abortions than white, right? I mean, it's about reducing the population. And as you know, I mean, the Gates and the Rockefellers, and their whole thing is to reduce the population. It's much easier to control and dominate the livestock if you cull the herd. There's too many of them. You got to get rid of a bunch of them. It's easier, much easier to dominate and control them. So the vaccines, of course, that's the main purpose, is you want to cull the herd with the vaccines. They're very harmful, and they're killing a lot of people. And they're going to kill a lot more people, unfortunately. It's really, don't ever take these dang vaccines. I mean, so we have to understand the deception is rampant, and the eugenics movement and the climate change movement, these are all movements that are being rolled out by people who have an agenda. And you might say, oh, people couldn't be that evil. You know, the thing is, it's evil, but what we do to animals is just as evil from the point of view of the cows and pigs and chickens. So why are we to think that they wouldn't see us the same way we see cows and chickens? It's just like they're superior, we're inferior. Just like we think cows are inferior, they're bred into it. I mean, it's a wound. And if you actually, I don't recommend it, but if you do research like I've done, which is very painful to do, if you actually do the research and see what kinds of horrible things that these wealthy elite families that are kids, the kind of satanic rituals that they have to go through, then you understand. I mean, they're messed up. They're psychotic, and they're sociopaths. They're psychopaths and sociopaths that rise to the top, unfortunately, in a materialistic society like we have. The more vicious you are, the higher you go, unfortunately. So the most vicious people are at the top. And we can't imagine that they would be that vicious. And so you have this thing. It's kind of like, did you see the movie? I really recommend it. If you haven't seen it, if you don't mind seeing it, Gaslight. Have you seen that movie, Gaslight? You know, it's really an important movie because it's a British movie, I think from the 1950s or something. It's kind of an old movie. But it's so interesting because this guy, he's a cold-blooded killer, and he just wants to get this jewel that he knows is in this house, and he kills this old lady to get it, and he can't find the dang thing, and he's looking, and then the old lady passes the house on to her daughter, and so he just marries this woman so he can find the jewel, so he can be in the house where the jewel is and he can find it. And so he realizes that he's got to convince her that she's insane so that he can get rid of her and send her off to an institution. And so he cold-bloodedly keeps doing all these psychological manipulations to this poor woman, making her think that she's crazy. And he gets more and more successful at this, and she loves him, right? She thinks, oh, you're my husband. Oh, you would never do anything bad. It's just like people think about their government. People think, oh, the government. Oh, they wouldn't hurt us. It's the government. They're wonderful. They take care of us. They have all these agents. They have the EPA. They have the FDA. Oh, they have the USDA. Oh, you know, she's complete. And she would have been sent off, according to the storyline, she would have been sent off to into a institution. This police investigator, who's very, very smart, he kind of notices something weird here, and he actually steps in and miraculously saves her. But even after he demonstrates that this guy wants to kill her and send her off to an insane asylum, she still, her instinct is to love him and hug him. I mean, she can't get it. It's like, it's amazing. Like, you know, come on. Don't you see what this guy is doing? People, it's like, it's the same thing happening right now. I mean, even when Fauci says, oh, yeah, everything we did was wrong. There's no difference between being vaccinated and unvaccinated. I mean, people don't rise up and lynch him like they should. They just say, oh, yeah, he's a nice guy. He made an honest mistake. You know, I mean, sure, it's okay. I mean, how incredibly blind and gullible can we be? Like this woman, she just she couldn't imagine. You know, we just can't imagine people could be like that, right? Because we're not like that, so we can't imagine that anybody else would be like that. But it's a system, right? We don't get up in the morning thinking, I want to stab a bunch of chickens, but we do because we've been taught, just like when we stand at the checkout line and we buy the chicken, it's not like we're an evil person, but we just do our job. So that's what's been happening. And so the World Economic Forum, there's massive power and money behind all these narratives. And I think us as vegans, it's really important for us to question them as individuals, but I also hope that our movement will somehow wake up, because the vegan movement should have been the number one most powerful obstacle to the globalists. The vegan movement for the liberation of animals, for the protection of human rights, for the protection of the environment, the vegan movement should be the number one most powerful obstacle of the globalist agenda to enslave humanity and turn us into livestock. And yet, the vegan movement has become an enforcer of the globalist agenda. Like, yeah, let's go right along with it. Don't question it, anybody. Get your vaccine. That's what most of the vegans are saying, really, quite honestly, from what I can see. And so I'm really thinking that now, because this isn't over. I mean, we're at a point where I'm not sure what they're going to do next, but there's obvious the climate change thing is ramping up, monkeypox is ramping up, masking is coming back to California. I mean, they're doing all, who knows what. They're not going to just, you know, stop the agenda, right? The agenda is rolling on, and unless we resist and refuse to comply, and that's what veganism always is. That's the beauty of veganism, is that we are the only movement that stands up and says, I will not comply with any narrative that destroys the sovereignty of individual beings, right? That's what we're doing. Every day we get up and we not only boycott industries and boycott practices and boycott entertainment, but we spread this message. We're actually resisting, and we're articulating why we're resisting. So the vegan movement is the main hope for animals and the main hope for, I think, really, of authentic spirituality in the sense of living a life of loving kindness and compassion, not just talking about it. And we should be the main obstacle to this wealthy elite destroying this planet and humanity at the same time. They're driven by a completely satanic, psychotic agenda and urge. I don't know where it comes from, but that's obvious what's happening. And so to somehow revivify and reawaken our fellow vegans to what's happening, and ask them to please come back home again to their heart and realize that our job is to protect. I mean, our number one job is to protect, of course, animals. I mean, you know, animals from, because as long as we eat animals, we're lost. But I think we should also include our freedom of speech, our freedom of assembly, our freedom of travel. I mean, if we can't do that, we can't ever defend the animals. If I can't speak and write and get thrown off of social media and can't talk to anybody, can't ever do a lecture, if we're not allowed to gather together, I mean, you know, we should be defending human rights also. Because without human rights, we don't have any rights to do anything. The animals will get all killed off anyway. They don't. The other thing, the other deception I want to touch on here, which is another one, is the plant-based food deception, right? They don't say vegan food anymore. They say plant-based. Everybody says plant-based. No. I mean, plant-based is part of Big Pharma's agenda. They love plant-based because plant-based means it's made in a plant, right? It's made in a factory. That's what plant-based means. It's made in a factory. It's some kind of factory food with genetically engineered ingredients, with lots of chemical and pesticide residues and all kinds of preservatives, and it's junk food. And vegans think it's so great. Now we have Impossible Burgers. Now, this kind of toxic food is somehow good for our movement. That we should try to promote toxic food. And I just think yeah, this is really not what veganism is about. Veganism is about respecting your body, respecting, you know, being healthy, minimalizing our impact on the earth. And Big Pharma loves that. If people eat Impossible Burgers and all this plant-based junk food, they'll have just as many diseases as they ever had. And they'll make just as much money as they ever did. Their worst nightmare is people who are eating a whole food, organic, plant-based diet, who are exercising and getting fresh air and sunshine and cultivating positive, loving relationships and celebrating their lives and never getting sick because they're in alignment with their true nature and their purpose and their power. And so I think anything we can do to deepen our connection with our ability to heal spiritually and to eat healthy food, to grow our own food, to support local farmers at farmers markets. Decentralization is another one. You know, decentralization and minimalism, I think those are two essential corollaries of veganism. Because as soon as you get centralization, you have a few people controlling everybody, right? You have centralization of information, centralization of energy, centralization of power. And that's what's happened in our society. So these systems are always trying to centralize to make a globe. That's why we call it the globalism. You have a few people who are unelected with all the money, and they determine how everybody has to live their life. They determine who has land and who doesn't, who can go where and who can't. A few people made the decision to lock down the entire planet, and it happened. I mean, that's not a conspiracy theory. That actually happened. Every country in the world, people locked down and had to wear masks. I mean, that's a few people made that decision. A tiny little minority, you know, a handful. And it happened. So there's no doubt that right now the systems are in place, and with computers, that's the other thing. The other huge deception, I mean, these are huge deceptions. The plant-based food deception, don't buy it. This whole thing about, really ridiculous, is the lab-grown meat thing. I mean, talk about a nightmare of toxic, horrible food, lab-grown meat. And then they want us to eat insects. They want us to eat each other. I mean, cannibalism is being promoted now by the New York Times. Insect eating has been promoted for a long time as the way. What is that all about? What is eating insects all about? What is eating each other all about? That's what they're doing. They're promoting that. It's being promoted. They're absolutely promoting it. It's mocking human beings. These are Satanists that mock human beings. Just the same way we mock pigs and cows and chickens and make fun of them, and you turkey, you pig, you chicken. They mock human. They say, let's have them eat insects. That'll be fun. You know, we should never allow our dignity to be eroded this way. And there's powerful forces doing that. Who makes all the money on these things? Another one is transgenderism, quite honestly. I mean, you know, they make how much money they make when people switch their gender, how much the pharmaceutical industry is making hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars on all these operations. And that's why the big media is promoting it so much, and it divides everybody. You want to divide and conquer. However, you want to find every single possible fault line in the society. You want to divide people by their sexual preference and sexual identity, by their race, by their religion, whatever you can find the fault lines. The CIA has been doing this for decades. They've mastered the art of it, and they're doing it right now in the Western countries, right here in the United States. They know what they're doing. They've been practicing this. They practice on El Salvador. They practice on Iran. They practice on all these countries back in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. They're doing it. They're doing it through the Democratic Party. They're doing it. They've taken over the Democratic Party completely. And so, you know, we have to really understand, I mean, don't believe anything that they're saying. And the other big deception is transhumanism. I mean, that's the idea is that with artificial intelligence, somehow with technology, we can solve all our problems. I mean, this is the religion of science, right? Religion of science is, you know, just trust us. We'll solve your problems. Technology will solve the problem. We'll create a fix. We'll have abundant energy, and everything will be perfect. Just trust us. We can solve the problem. Science will solve your problems. We're taught that over and over again. And the corollary of that, which is also taught, is that you human beings are stupid and violent, and you can't, you're just a curse on the earth. There's too many of you. We got to get rid of you. We're taught that all the time. Really, that's the subtext of our society, is humans are basically flawed, and we're violent, and we're miserable, and we're stupid, and we can't take care of ourselves, so we need some good authoritarian scientists to create the technology to take care of us. That's what the World Economic Forum is teaching and what they're rolling out, and that's what's taught really in our schools. So, again, it's so important for a spiritual practice to love human beings. I mean, a lot of vegans don't love human beings. I mean, that's a big mistake. Vegans love animals, right? We love and protect animals. We're all animals. We should love all the cows, pigs, chickens, and all the deer and whales and orcas, and we should love the human beings. Human beings are beautiful, powerful, magnificent beings. We're wounded, but that doesn't mean when someone's wounded that you hate them. You love them even more. You try to heal them. We should love each other, love human beings. Love the tremendous, I mean, it's amazing to me, after all the wounds that we go through growing up in this toxic, globalist, elite-dominated society, that we walk around and we're kind and loving to each other basically all the time. You go to the store, people are friendly, we're stressed out, we're kind and loving to each other, we think of each other. I mean, human beings are beautiful, intelligent, magnificent, creative, powerful beyond imagining, just totally powerful. And they work really hard to strip that power, to steal that power, to dumb us down with all this, with food and toxic chemicals and fluoride and EMF fields and genetic engineering, and now they're genetic engineering in the actual vaccines, right? I mean, don't ever take an mRNA vaccine, because now that this Sweden has proven that they do alter your DNA in your genes, and it goes right into the ovaries, and it goes into the next generation. Whatever, so when this is it. I mean, the human genome has been changed now. And remember what that means. You know what that means. And this is a side thing, but what that means is there's laws in place, and these are laws that have been on the books for decades, that a natural organism can never be patented. But as soon as you alter the genes of any organism, whether it's a cow, a pig, or a lettuce, you can own all those individuals as property. You own them. So quite honestly, if anyone has gotten, I hate to say it, the Pfizer or the Moderna vaccine, your genes are permanently altered, and you're not actually, from the point of view of the law, you're not actually a human being anymore. And you don't have any rights. You know how cows don't have rights and pigs don't have rights? Because they're just objects. They're just objects. They're not beings. They're objects. Well, human beings are now, who have taken these vaccines, are objects in the eyes of the law. I'm not sure how it's going to play out in the courts, but we should never allow ourselves to be in that position, to allow ourselves to be pressured into being put in that position, to ever go along and not comply with the demonic pharmaceutical industry, who would love to patent human beings and own us as property and turn us into livestock. That's the end game, turn us into livestock. And so everything they're doing is to push us in that direction, and the deception is rampant. It's just building more and more. I mean, it's not going away. They're pushing harder than ever. Children's Health Defense, they just threw them off of Facebook and Instagram. I mean, the censorship is getting stronger than ever. So, it's nice to think that now you don't have to wear a mask anymore. Things are getting better. We have to really, absolutely never comply. Just never, ever, ever comply. Because if we comply, that's how we give away our power completely. So I'm going to stop here, I think, just... those are some of the main points I wanted to make, I think, in the whole thing. There's maybe more I could say, but I'd like to see if you all have any feedback about all this, because I've said quite a few different things and different issues that we're facing, as a movement and as a society. And if you think I've gone too far with this, maybe, or not gone far enough, or whatever it is. Because I think these are critical issues for us. We have to be aware of this. That in the background, I think these things are, we're being challenged. You know, we're being challenged spiritually. And of course, the beautiful thing is that we come here and we're here for a few decades to just do the best we can so that the future generations of all beings can be free, right? How can we can't change necessarily what's happening in the outer world, but we can always change our response to it. How do we respond to this? That's really the question. How do we best respond so that we feel we're doing the best we can to be part of the solution rather than being part of the problem? And I think that's the key. Now, I'm not interested in any way in blaming or criticizing anyone. It's just how can I be the best example, I guess, or articulation and manifestation of wisdom and freedom and kindness and compassion for all beings in the situation that we find ourselves right now. All right, I have a hand up here with Andy. Yeah, go ahead.
Hi, Will. First, thank you so much. You not only have not gone overboard, you just used the incorrect term pandemic instead of plandemic, which I
right.
know about. And I was wondering, I think you said, what is it like an animal liberation conference that's coming up soon, and they said you have to be tested. I'm wondering, is this something where maybe if they require that, but of course, you know, you wouldn't want to do it, but could you set up a table outside, like just outside of where their entrance is, with information and about the truth about, you know, like freedom things and animal things and the whole connection? And I know I have done that. I've gone to dog parks. I've actually gone to grocery stores, and I set up a table with information, and sometimes I'll just play beautiful mellow music. Sometimes I'll have freedom music, and then I have my flyers that I distribute with all these resources. You know, just trying to educate people, but you know, in a peaceful, loving way, I found that's generally more effective.
right.
So I don't know if you can still somehow do that. And then I have another question, which is regarding the whole vegan thing. Like before this whole shutdown happened and Bruce Friedrich was starting all this lab meat, and my thought was, I don't care what they do as long as they stop torturing and murdering innocent animals. I don't care if the food's healthy or not. But now obviously it's grown into this whole thing of, you know, yeah, I mean, it's the whole insanity of everything that you just said that they're planning on doing to us. So, you know, that's what's frustrating is they're actually promoting veganism, you know, this global elite. And so that's what is frustrating. It's like, how do we deal with that? It's like they're promoting veganism. We want to promote veganism, just not their way of doing it.
Yeah, well, I think, first of all, they're definitely not promoting veganism. I mean, none of them are vegan. They hate the vegan message. They would like to destroy the vegan message. They're promoting plant-based, right? So that's a totally different thing. And, you know, Bill Gates is investing in some of these. He eats meat every day.
Right.
You know, they have no interest in veganism. Veganism is the greatest threat to them. But I think what they're trying to do is co-opt the movement, right? They've got to co-opt the movement and weaken it, and so they can basically what's the word? I guess it's like kind of take over social capital.
Okay.
See, we've been working hard. The vegan activists have been working hard for decades, creating a lot of positive social capital, I guess you'd say. Like a lot of people know what veganism is. They have this basic sense of a pure, idealistic movement to protect animals, to protect the environment, and protect people, right? So there's a lot of positive social capital. So these evil globalists can come in and commandeer that social capital and put it onto, and steal it, basically, and say, look at us. We're promoting plant-based foods, And everybody, all the vegans, of course, like, oh, they, we love Bill Gates, we love them. He's, you know, he's helping us. And they're taking that and they're just siphoning it. They've done this over and over. They did this with the environmental movement already. And they took the whole thing, like, it used to be, that's another thing about climate change. It used to be, you know, the environmental movement was about stopping companies from polluting with their toxic chemicals, stopping them from destroying the aquifers, stopping them from cutting down the forest. Now, the whole environmental movement has been forced into a little tiny corral of climate change. Everything's climate change, right? The only thing is climate change. So they completely co-opted and destroyed the environmental movement by giving them all this money to make their message be climate change. And they're doing the same thing. They're giving all this money to the animal rights big groups to get away from promoting veganism. No, don't promote veganism. They gave millions of dollars to Mercy for Animals, to Humane Society and so forth, to promote cage-free eggs or to promote plant-based foods, which are toxic and keep people sick and give the illusion of something that's actually vegan. And I think we have to go back to see that the beauty and the purity of what the vegan movement really is. It's a message of ahimsa and of a healthy relationship between humans and animals and the environment, and not just let ourselves be co-opted by a very centralized, powerful steamroller that ultimately will destroy animals and ecosystems and human beings. Everything's genetically engineered, right? I mean, genetic engineering, when you understand what that is, it's also very demonic. I mean, it's completely changing the genes of animals and plants, and we don't know what that's going to unleash on the world. I mean, it's already unleashing crazy stuff. So I think we should be distancing ourselves from all that stuff and saying that's not what veganism is, you know, personally.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, Lisa.
Thank you, Dr. Taro. Always so inspiring that you help us see into all these different kinds of deceptions. It's so hard to draw where the fine line is. To me, you really opened my eyes to the climate change conversation. Here all this time, I thought, I bought into the climate change. I support the electric cars, even though I don't have one yet, but I make it into one of my goals to shrink my carbon footprint. Of course, the biggest thing I know to do is being vegan, right?
Right.
So I don't know where to draw the line, to be in alignment with the vegan spirit and not fall prey into these deceptions that is so conspicuous to discern. So that's one. I'd like you to maybe share your thoughts on that. The other thing, I totally agree with you, and I feel I was so shocked personally because being the founder of the Vegan Entrepreneur chapter in the U.S. as part of this global vegan entrepreneur movement was, in my mind, was to promote veganism, via businesses.
Right.
And at the beginning of the pandemic, the pandemic, I was asked to leave the organization because they don't like that I promote anti-vaccine and I speak against the vaccine and I speak against the cell culture vegans, the lab food. So they are totally into that camp. So unfortunate that we are splitting into these two camps, even among our vegans. So I So that's, I really, heartbreak about that, that how, it's hard to discern where we fall into the vegan movement, I still, you know, want to stand for, us as a unity. You know, we are, as vegans, we should really really truly, like you say, really understand the original vegan spirit is to love all life, all forms of life, you know, animals and humans, and,
right.
And really see how everything we can do to promote that and that.
Well, I think, you know, it's those are good questions. You know, the vegan entrepreneurs that kind of thing has happened a lot, and I think, you know, what the pandemic or the plandemic did is it really traumatized. It was really a very traumatizing situation to our society. They really rolled out 24/7 huge amounts of fear. And so they knew, I mean, they've done this before in other countries and other contexts, that trauma would cause people, it was a divide and conquer, right? When people are traumatized, they tend to, from fear, they tend to start to panic about what's happening, and if anyone disagrees or sees it differently, then they separate. So we saw this a lot. I even have friends who got divorced over this. I mean, you know, the wife wanted to wear a mask, and the husband said no, and they just got a divorce. And, you know, I mean, there's been huge family splitting up, and the movement splitting. Everything gets divided, and so of course that's what you want if you want to be able to dominate and control people, is you inflict trauma. And so we have to be, that's why we can't allow our vibratory level to drop. That's why meditation is so important. If we're meditating every day and connecting with nature and connecting with our own true nature, then we're less likely to be spooked. I like that word, spooked, because, you know, that's what they do to livestock, right? They'll have, you see my article, how they, you know, they have 2 or 3 guys and 100 cows, and 2 or 3 guys can just spook those animals and get them to go wherever they want. Just, you know, whack them and yell a few times. Ah, and everybody just runs and they go wherever they're told. Then we shouldn't be spooked, right? You know, I mean, just because Fauci's yelling, we can go like, well, where's your evidence? You know, we don't have to go running wherever he says. And so, but that takes inner work. And most people, including vegans, have not done the inner work. They didn't do it. They didn't do any inner work. Their minds are, if they went vegan, that's good. But their minds are still lost, unfortunately, in a lot of the materialist programming. So to answer your first question about where to draw the line, I think just draw the line better and better and better every day if you can, right? I mean, just, you know, it's like anything. The most important thing we can do, I think, still is to share the vegan message. I mean, the vegan message is priceless. You know, the more people can stop eating animals, the better. That's really important. But I think also sharing the human freedom message also is very important. So both of those together.
Just
getting informed about what's actually going on. Like, where is all this electricity actually going to come from to run electric cars?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how's it going to be made? I mean, and where are the batteries going to come from? And what, mm-hmm. What is this? This is like, you know, it's like they're passing laws that, like in California, that all the cars have to be electric by 2030. I mean, that's not going to work. I mean, it's going to be people, you're just not going to be able to drive. And of course, electric cars, they're great because they can always be controlled from the outside, right? I mean, they can say you can go here, you can't go there. They can stop you. They can turn you around. They can take the car over, right? So, you know, it's about control. The thing with deception is they make you think that it's, you're doing something great. You know, I'm helping the environment. And they told all the Democrats, I mean, this is the perfect thing. They said, get vaccinated, wear a mask, but don't do it for yourself. Do it for others. You know, what self-respecting liberal can say anything about, say, oh, gosh, yeah, I'll do it for others. I mean, you didn't do it. You don't care about other people. You know, and what I've been saying, which is I won't go into it. It's maybe too extreme, but I'll just say it, and you can think about it, the pandemic face diapers and the Ku Klux Klan masks are cut from the same cloth. It's the same cloth. It's the Ku Klux Klan people, they were good people in their minds. They were protecting their families. They were protecting from these dangerous, bad influences. And they were really good people. And people wearing masks, you know, and they're being manipulated. But it's even worse now because you've got the President of the United States and the President of everybody. They're all wearing masks, right? So you have to understand it's an agenda of violence to destroy our connection with each other and to turn us into objects and to separate from each other, to block our spirit. I mean, it's nothing. It's we're being deceived. We're consciously they're trying to deceive us all the time. And again, it's not to be paranoid. It's just understand that's what's going on. And
yeah.
We have to develop street smarts enough to see it happening, and not comply with it like we did with as vegans. When someone says, "Oh, here's a burger," you say, is that a vegan burger? Oh, yeah, it's a vegan burger, yeah. But wait a minute, it came right out of the meat department. Oh, don't worry, it's vegan. You know, we like say, no, I mean, I'm not that stupid, I'm not going to eat it, right? So we have to develop our capacity to discriminate. And I would say just go keep following your intuition and your critical thinking and it'll take you to the right place. I have to. Madeline is reminding me we have to end on time here because we're in the middle of shooting. She's doing this great. I think it's really cool. A video for Madeline's Intuitive Kitchen. It's called Frittata Vegana. She's making a vegan frittata. Anyway, from zucchini and spelt flour and stuff. But maybe we have time maybe for Christy. Christy, go ahead. Please unmute. You've had your hand up for quite a while.
Thank you. I'll try to make it very quick. First of all, on a happy note, as some of you know, I've got a novel that's coming out in a few months that features a vegan protagonist. It's being traditionally published. And to the mainstream, to the general population, I'm not highlighting the fact that veganism is a strong component of the book. But to you all, I'll fill you in on my secret vegan agenda. So if any of you belongs to a book club or, you know, just loves to read, this book is women's fiction. And if you're interested in helping me get the word out and, you know, my aim is to normalize veganism through fiction. So please, I put my info in the chat. So please let me know if you'd like to get involved. And then just very quickly on the comments that you touched on, Will, I'll just mention that I'm having a harder and harder time reconciling all the, I feel like every group, every community that I'm part of is becoming fractured along different lines. You know, the vegan community, so much of the vegan communities are in delusion about, you know, this pandemic and the COVID nonsense, and groups that I really respected, like Direct Action Everywhere and Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, you know, I really tried to reconcile, well, I can still support them because their work focuses on veganism, but, you know, I just see the other delusion creeping into their messaging, and it's difficult. And then by the same token, for instance, I learned that there's a Make Americans Free Again chapter that started in Nashville. And if you guys aren't aware, that's part of Pam Popper's movement about, you know, countering the, you know, mandatory vaccination.
And she's vegan.
But that group tends to be very anti-vegan, not Popper herself, but the chapters, you know. Someone was telling me the other day about how she raises lambs and chickens and for meat, you know, and she loves them and she appreciates them. So I'm just finding it more and more difficult. But I know we're over time, so I won't keep talking. But good to check in. Good to see everybody. Thank you. So I find comfort. You know, I'm sure I'm in delusion about plenty of things still, but I do feel lucky to have questioned when it came to my food choices, and again to have questioned when it came to the scandemic and
right.
So I do feel like there is comfort in awareness and the truth and seeking the truth. So I'm grateful for that.
Great. Thank you. Thanks so much, Chrissy. Yeah, we want to hear more about your book, too, as we get closer to the release date. When did you say it's releasing?
November 23rd.
November. Oh, November 23rd.
Marrying Myself.
Great. Okay.
So, yeah, I'll certainly keep you posted. Thank you for
great
asking. Yeah.
Beautiful. All right. So, it's exactly 6:31. So, we have to kind of wrap it up here. I want to thank all of you for all your efforts. And Madeline, are you there? Here comes Madeline. But let's say our prayer together that we always say every day at noon for the animals and for the humans, for all of us. All right. So feel free to unmute yourself if you would like to. And I'm so glad to see you all, and we send our love. And let's go ahead and say our prayer. I think you all know it. If you don't, it's really easy. Compassion encircles the earth
for all
beings everywhere. Yay, again. Compassion encircles the earth
for all beings everywhere.
One more time with feeling.
Compassion.
Great. So we love you, and it's great to see your beautiful faces, those of you that can do that. And keep your vibration high, and remember, love is the power, and we're all in this really together to spread this message. So thank you very much, and we look forward to seeing you the first Thursday of September for the meditation. Much love. Thanks. Take care.
Thank you.
Well.
Thank you.
Good night.
Namaste, everyone.